That is freely given. And it frees us. For no matter what circumstance you're in, if you're in poor health, could you feel enslaved to your condition? Sure you can. Will it go away? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But Christ is still there no matter. And that's where the strength is. That's where the source is. There are other types of slavery. Credit card debt. Can that take all your money? Sure it can. Because it commits all your future money to obligations in the past. And perhaps the most notorious of all, and this is the one that I have a lot of conversations with students, student loan debt. That's a monster. That is a monster. Because here's the thing. Does it go away? No. Even with bankruptcy, it's still what? There. I think sometimes when we think of persons that may be looking anywhere from 30 to a six-figure debt figure, how many years are you trading off of your life and your future just to get rid of that thing? That's bondage. That's bondage. That's slavery. And it's harsh. So you see, there are all kinds of slavery. But Paul wanted to remind us of something, and that is this. Christ sets us free. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, Christ sets us free. So I'm going to invite you, if you brought your Bible with you, we can turn together to Galatians chapter 5. If not, take a look at the first part of this chapter, at least the first 15 verses, sometime today, and meditate on it this week. But I want to share with you Galatians 5, 1 through 6. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Again, don't go back to that comfort zone. If Christ has freed you from whatever it is, move forward. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself, now at this point he was talking about circumcision. If you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. In other words, the issue here, and you may not pick this up from just reading it, circumcision is an act. Do we still practice circumcision today? We do. Many young boys are circumcised. Does circumcision save you? No. But see, this was one of the things that was being taught, and that's in the background of that passage. Circumcision doesn't save you. It was a sign of a covenant between God and His people. Here's another thing. Baptism, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're often baptized. Does baptism save you? No. Baptism is a symbol of your what? Faith. It is a symbol. Does church membership save you? No. It does not. It just means that we're agreeing to be part of a what? Body of believers who want to share the gospel. Here's the point I'm getting at. It's not circumcision. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It is faith in what? Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the issue. And that's what Paul is trying to get across. For you're trying, so again he says, again I testify to every man, who gets himself circumcised, that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For we eagerly await through the Spirit, by faith, the hope of righteousness. The Spirit here he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. That is the gift that we get as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For in Christ, Jesus, neither circumcision or non-circumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. So that's the bottom line. We are saved through faith, through grace of God. Not through our works, not through earning something. And we are, as Christians, to imitate the life of Christ, which is a life that is based on love. Two things. Love God with all of your heart, and then love who? Your neighbor as yourself. And so that is the foundation. That is what it is that Paul is trying to remind these Galatian Christians to keep in mind. And so I wanted to remind you of a few things. In Paul, in chapter 5, Paul takes a shift in his approach. He's no longer trying to justify him being an apostle and a disciple of Christ. He's trying to move beyond this idea of justification by faith. Of course, he's still having to remind. And then he's talking about trying to live in the Spirit. And of course, the foundation for living in the Spirit for Paul is love, that unconditional love. And that's what he's trying to remind us of here. He's also reminding us that we cannot keep the Jewish law perfectly. No one can. We cannot earn our salvation. You know, the world tells us if you just clean up your mess, face your problems, and look at yourself in the mirror, that you can kind of heal yourself. How good does that work? Not good at all. I don't know about you, but I can try something for 2 or 3 days, like a diet or something like that, and you can tell how much that's working for me right now. Now, I do know I need to do it, and I am asking the Lord to help me do it. But willpower is not going to do it. It's going to take something else. And it's going to take the Lord working with me in a way that I get it. But we face things like that a lot. And so we can't work our way into something. It doesn't work that way. You see, in Christ, we have freedom. We are delivered from the power of sin, from the power of death, and we're given eternal life. Now, how many of y'all know Dave Ramsey or have heard of Dave Ramsey on the radio? Financial guy. Got some really good advice. A lot of people will call into his show, and he'll do a little interview with them, and what'll they do after that interview? They'll have a debt-free scream. And some people really scream at that point. Why are we not screaming? Why are we not screaming? Because here's my point. Can we talk about a debt-free scream? Yes. Free from the consequences of sin, free from the consequences of death, and we have eternal life. We are debt-free. Have you ever thought about that? We are really debt-free. Now, those financial things sometimes can still tag along. But we are debt-free. And we can scream as well. But yet, we tend sometimes to still be tempted by things that pull us in different directions. Here's something that, and I'll speak just for myself, but if you can identify with this, you'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've heard about Christ crucified all my life. And we serve the crucified Lord. And you know, Jesus said it's important that we pick up that cross daily. That cross is a symbol of eternal life, but it's also the symbol of what? Crucifixion. And he said, pick up that cross daily. And so it dawned on me. Jesus is telling me that if I really want to follow him, I have to crucify my life daily. Now hang with me for a minute. I have to crucify my life daily if I'm going to follow Christ and pick up that cross. Because the temptation is for me to put who in first place? Me. And not God. For me to put God first, I have to realize that myself does not matter. It is not about me. It is about God. And it is about glorifying God. And it is about crucifying that life daily and picking up that cross of the crucified Christ daily. You see, that's a positive thing. That's what it means to keep your eyes on Jesus, to stay focused on the Lord, to realize we have been redeemed, that we are debt free. We forget those things. Now, Paul, in verses 13 through 15, takes a slightly different turn. And he takes this turn because the persons that were in the churches, this was a new church in Galatia, and there were others that were trying to say, well, yeah, you can believe this, but no, you need to be doing this. And some of it was, you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the law. You need to follow certain practices and this, that, and the other. And Paul's trying to remind them, those are practices you can observe. What matters is what Christ has done and continues to do in your life. And you don't want to be torn apart by it. Because too often, we get divided. We get pitted against each other. And I don't know about you, but have you ever digged your foot in on something and digged your heels in on something? And, you know, you're saying, all right, come at me. I'm going to stand here. You're going to have to go through me to get this done. We dig our heels in, don't we? Well, the Galatians, the new Christians in the churches of Galatia, they were experiencing some real difficulty. And so if you ever thought that the difficulties that Christians have getting along today is something that's new, it's not. Happened with Paul in these churches. But thank goodness, churches have been able to keep their focus so that the message can continue to move forward. And it's never been more important than it is right now to share the gospel and to disciple and to have fellowship of believers and to make a difference in this world. For we have been challenged not to be conforming to this world, but to be the light of this world and to transform that world. But we can't do that if we're what? Divided. Because there's an old saying that's true. A house divided will not what? Stand. It won't. So it'll be pulling apart all the time. So what is it that pulls us together? Paul reminds us. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. In other words, we're not free to do whatever we want to whoever we want to, whenever we want to, as we want to. That's just kind of another version of I want what I want when I want it. That's not what it is. Jesus asks us to forget about ourselves and see through God's eyes. See others as God's creation. And we can do that through eyes of love. Do we have eyes of hatred today? Yes, we do. Turn on the TV, any channel, and you will find what? Anger, hate, all kind of stuff. We are the light of the world. We have a message which is different. And that message is God loves you and always has. Serve others through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then it goes with verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, for you will be consumed by one another. In other words, what's a house of cards? Tip one of them, and what happens? The whole thing collapses. We're not a house of cards. We're people of faith built on a strong foundation. Now, in this message, love your brother or love your neighbor as yourself, Paul is actually digging back into the Old Testament. So I want to go back to Leviticus, third book in the Bible, the Torah. And here, what Moses was sharing with the people. Do not harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your brother as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, when we look at that, we're reminded of some things. We're not to be obsessed by hatred for our brother or our sister. It's important to know when to forgive and when to let things go. How many of you have seen the movie Frozen? Do you know what I'm talking about? With that movie, there's a song in there, let it go, let it go. We have trouble with that. We have a whole lot of trouble with that. Here's a second one. Try not to talk behind your neighbor's back. Hey, I got something I need to tell you. How many times do we do that? It's hard to be transparent. I say this a lot because Carol doesn't like for me to use that word. And we got a little thing about it. But it's critical and it's important. But it's important that we be transparent. That we really, because here's the point. Why do we want to be transparent? We may be the only person that will approach someone about Jesus Christ. And if they don't see Jesus in us, is what we say going to matter? No. We may be the only gospel that someone will ever hear. Now, I'm not saying that to be a load of guilt trip. I'm saying that to say we want to be transparent as to who we are and what we're about. And be very clear about it. And that transparency is to love your neighbor. To love your neighbor. You see, Jesus picked up on this as well. Because if you go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, or Luke chapter 20, 25 through 28, Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment? He said, all the law and all the prophets, everything is fulfilled in two things. Love God and what? Love your neighbor. Love. Unconditional love. Not with strings attached. The real deal. So to practice that love. So, Paul reminds us that we are to serve others, to love our neighbor, and to live in harmony. Or another way, do no harm. Anybody remember what that oath comes from? If you're in the medical profession, you're taking an oath to try to do what? No harm. Well, as Christians, maybe we ought to take that oath as well. May we do no harm in what we do and who we're about. I think of the song. A lot of times when we observe the Lord's Supper, we'll have to try to figure out a way to do that somehow. When you observe the Lord's Supper, what's the hymn that you sing real often? Blessed be the tie that binds. It's not, blessed be what separates us. It's not, blessed be what we're concerned about. It's not, blessed be what we're arguing about. It's, blessed be that tie that binds us together and binds our hearts in Christian love. Because that's how we make a difference. So two things. You can give and you can honestly celebrate Christ. Go outside and scream, I'm debt free. And then let your neighbors try to figure out what it is you're doing at that point. That could be a great way to interact with your neighbor, you know. Yeah. But we're free. And remember the tie that binds us. We are to work together. We're to share the gospel. We're to minister to others, to disciple believers, to bring glory to God, and to be the light of the world. That's who we are. We are free to do this. So we do not want to enslave ourselves to those things that prevent us from doing that. And then finally, Paul hints at this in these two verses, these two sections that I read. How long are we to do this? The rest of our life. Until either we meet Christ face to face, or what? Christ meets us in the second coming. So there is a timeline with this. Either we meet Christ face to face as we pass from death to life, or we may be that group that sees Christ coming here. Either way, we are to love each other and to work together and to share the gospel. So, what are the takeaways today? First, in Christ, we are debt free. In Christ, we are debt free. Sin does not have to control us. Death does not have to be that final verdict. It's a transition. Two, may we practice the great commandment that Jesus gave us. Love God and love each other. Three, we are equipped to be the light of the world, to build that kingdom that Jesus said had already been established and was being established as he came the first time. We can share the gospel. We can pray. We can have fellowship. We can read the word. We can disciple others. We can minister. We can do all of these things and lift each other up. Because when all is said and done, we really can make a difference in this world. Because Christ has made a difference in our lives. And then finally, we enter the mission field every day. We are all ministers, and we are all missionaries. Let that sink in. We are all ministers, and we are all missionaries. So when we issue an invitation, just like we're going to do right now, because we never know who's going to be here, who's going to be passing by that can hear, who may hear the voice right now from what we're saying. Persons can accept Jesus Christ when? Right where they are, anytime, at any moment. Allow Jesus to come into your life. Confess our sins. Accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And while membership and baptism don't save you, get involved with a local church and get baptized. It's a symbol. It symbolizes death to the self and rising in Christ. Get involved with a church. Become a member. Because we have a lot that we can do to change this world as a body of believers. If you've accepted Christ, but you want to recommit your life, do it right here, right now. Say, Lord, I know I can utter that debt-free scream. I know that You are the tie that binds us together. I want to love You, and I want to love my neighbor as myself. We can do it right here, right now. So, as we leave today, I got some good news for you. Phil's going to be preaching next week, and he's already working on a message. It will be from Galatians. Don't know if it'll be chapter 5 or chapter 6, but I know one thing. It will be good. Because Phil will bring you the gospel. And he'll bring it in his own unique way. And we'll be blessed. So, as we enter the mission field, may we remember this. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. And may we love our neighbors as ourselves. And yes, God's people say amen, but we also say something else. God is good when? All the time. God is good. May God be with us and all that we do.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. The solid one. like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid. Like these.